My wife Jody and I are pleased to be with you here this morning. On Memorial Day, we gather to honor those that have died serving our country's armed forces. And please, do be seated if you can. I see some still standing. Please rest. As the start of summer, it marks a renewed sense of pride in American values by recalling those that have given the ultimate sacrifice for American ideals. Decorating soldiers' graves is an ancient custom for all of humanity, but it was made more poignant in the USA after 1864 and the deaths of some 600,000 Americans that perished in the Civil War. Burial and memorialization took on a new cultural meaning after this cataclysmic national event and the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. In 1868, General John Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of Union veterans, established Decoration Day as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the Union war dead. By the 20th century, various Union and Confederate memorial traditions celebrated on different days merged to Memorial Day, eventually extending to honor all Americans who had died while in military service, a number now more than 1 million men and women. Salinas City Cemetery, Gypsum Hill, holds a section of the Grand Army of the Republic veterans, buried in a horseshoe-shaped, or so it would seem, semicircle of graves to just to the east and south of the road leading up to the Hillcrest Mausoleum. My family's all buried in the Hillcrest Mausoleum, and I found it fascinating as a boy to explore the graves of the GAR, reading the inscriptions and the dates on those stones. I've been told they rest in a semicircle between because the sextons were careful to align all the survivors of the Civil War to the true east, which the roads of the cemetery do not reflect. So they would surely see God when they rise on the last day at exactly the same moment in time. I've always liked that explanation. If you have any time or interest in this part of Decoration Day history, I recommend a visit to the Grand Army of the Republic site of Gypsum Hill. Joyce Kilmer, as many of you will remember from your school literature classes, is a famous American poet who wrote sentimental lyric poetry in the Romantic style. Most of us remember him for his most notable work, Trees. I think that I will never see a poem lovely as a tree. I'm sure you all remember it. Interestingly, Kilmer's writing includes a work entitled Memorial Day, and I would like to share that with you today because it's made all the more poignant when you know a couple of facts about the life of Joyce Kilmer. Kilmer was a remarkable orator and was known to neglect any preparation for his speeches, not even choosing a subject, until the beginning of the dinner or event, which was to culminate with the speech he was to give. He came to a strong Catholic faith through the loss of a daughter, Rose, to infantile paralysis. And most interestingly, a few days after the United States entered World War II, he voluntarily joined an infantry regiment known as the Fighting 69th. Despite being older and a father of three other children, he made this declaration to his wife. I have considered this step and I am taking from every side. I feel there is no doubt that I have an obligation to join the colors. I would be ashamed later to look on my children's faces if I didn't volunteer. However other married men feel about going, I consider my enlisting as a duty I owe to God and country. Kilmer was fiercely loyal to his men, and though he was eligible and often recommended for commission as an officer, Kilmer refused, stating he would rather be a sergeant in the Fighting 69th than an officer in any other regiment. His most notable poem of that period was Rouge Bouquet, which commemorated the deaths of 24 members of his regiment in a German artillery barrage on an American trench positions in the Rouge Bouquet forest north of the French village of Baccarat. Kilmer sought more hazardous duty and was transferred to military intelligence. In a letter to his wife, Aline, he remarked, "Now I am doing work I love and work you may be proud of. None of the drudgery of soldiering, but a double share of glory and thrills." Kilmer's fellow soldiers respected him for his battlefield demeanor and was worshipped by the men around him. He was noted for his coolness and his nerve in scouting patrols in no man's land and his habit of choosing, with typical enthusiasm, the most dangerous and difficult missions. During the Second Battle of Marnay, Kilmer would volunteer to accompany Major Wild Bill Donovan, later the founder of the Office of Strategic Services and forerunner to the Central Intelligence Agency, when Donovan's battalion led the day's attack. Kilmer led a scouting party to find the position of a German machine gun. When his comrades found him, they thought at first that he was peering over the edge of a hill where he had crawled for a better view. When he did not answer their call, they ran to him and found him dead from a sniper's bullet to the brain that likely killed him instantly. He was buried in an American cemetery and memorial near Ferrey in Tardenois, France, and was awarded the War Cross by the French Republic. This is a poem he wrote entitled Memorial Day, Alfred Joyce Kilmer. The bugle echoes shrill and sweet, but not of war it sings today. The road is rhythmic with the feet of men at arms who come to pray. The roses blossom white and red on tombs where weary soldiers lie. Flags wave above the honored dead, and martial music cleaves the sky. Above their wreath-strewn graves we kneel. They kept the faith and fought the fight. Their flying lead and crimson steel, they plunged for freedom and the right. May we, their grateful children, learn their strength, who lie beneath this sod, who went through fire and death to earn at last the accolade of God. In shining rank on rank array they march, the legions of the Lord. He is their captain, unafraid, the Prince of Peace, who brought a sword. In 1915, following the Second Battle of Ypres, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, a physician with the Canadian Expeditionary Forces, wrote the poem In Flanders Field, which refers to the poppies that grew among the soldiers' graves in France. In 1920, the National American Legion adopted it as the official symbol of remembrance, and my wife and I now place at the monument a bouquet of poppies in tribute to our fallen heroes. Our ceremonies today commemorate the heroic souls of the past. On this day, when we decorate their graves, the dead come back to life with us. We remember their figures and the sound of their voices. Our dead brothers and sisters still live in us and for us and call us to think of life that cherishes and protects our American ideals. Let us remember that while we gather to pay tribute and bring solace and comfort the sorrowing, we have also come to consecrate ourselves anew to the great unfinished task of creating a better world. Let us seek to draw a little closer in friendship and understanding. Beyond this day, our remembrance is a day for we, the living, to rededicate ourselves to civic renewal and to perpetuate our form of government. Thank you for letting me share my thoughts with you this morning.